Welcome in to Monday Mailbag with Mike Chioda. I'm your co-host, Cassio. How are you, Mickey Mike?
Man, what's up, Cass? How you doing, brother? Doing good, man. Just kind of chilling, just doing, getting some bookings done and getting a lot of stuff done around here. We just went to the beach down in Clearwater yesterday. Had a nice day all day. Some seafood, went to the bait house, had some drunken shrimp and some
come on.
Yeah, man. They make this Reuben like out of whitefish, man, a fresh catch every day.
And it's a Reuben out of fish.
Seeded rye bread with sauerkraut, Thousand Island dressing with some cheese, slice of cheese and fresh whitefish.
Go.
Bro, it's jamming. A little pricey there, but it's jamming food there at Bait House. We've talked about it on the show before. And some top guys went there.
And they went there when we were down there?
Yeah, yep.
Nice, man, nice.
So that's it. How about you, man? Took a little trip, right?
I'm traveling here. Yeah, I'm at a new studio here with Conrad's over in the background outside.
Nice.
He is.
Please tell him I said hello.
Will do. We just arrived, and I said, hey, got to knock out Coyote here, and let's have some fun. Hey, how about the pre-orders? Are those still going for the figure?
Yeah, the pre-orders are going good, man. Really good. I believe we were at like 4-something out of the first 500 they put up.
Wow.
So
those are going fast. We need to go. If you're going to jump on that, jump on it now, man. Yeah,
thanks for plugging that in, Kikas. Appreciate you, brother.
got the figure. If you want to pre-order that, the QR code is on the screen if you are watching along with us. If you're not, if you're just listening, why are you not watching? We're handsome gentlemen. We're strangely handsome, as I like to say. RetroWrestlingFigures.com is where you can go if you're just listening. RetroWrestlingFigures.com. Look up that Mike Chioda pre-order. The Third Man in the Ring figure is ready to go. It's got the interchangeable hands on it. Series one. There's only one Series one, and this is it right here.
Yeah, man. Thanks for plugging that. Appreciate it.
No problem. Scan the QR code or go to the website and check that out. All right, Mike, we got a full slate of questions for you. Are you ready?
That's good. Yeah, I'm ready, brother. I'm ready.
All right, let's knock them out. We're going to start today with Tony Flowers. Tony, what's up, buddy? He says, what's up, Mike and Cassio? Mike, if things had been different and you became a wrestler instead, what would you want your finishing move to be?
Oof, it's a pretty good one, man. Probably.
Did you ever consider wrestling?
I did, but that's when, like, Gorilla Monsoon, when I was early age, taking bumps in the ring with Barry Horowitz down in Brooklyn, Brian, a bunch of the guys and stuff. And he was like, look, I told you longevity is refereeing. Don't bump like the boys. Right. Referees don't bump like the boys. So, and he was kind of right. I'm glad, because I would have never had a 35-year career wrestling, you know?
Yeah, man.
Wasn't a huge guy. It's just more of refereeing. But I'd probably go with the super kick, man. You know, for a singles, you know, like super kick, man. I mean, it's out of the blue sometimes, the way Sean used to hit that. And
throw somebody it from like, anywhere, anytime. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a Dolph Ziggler and, you know, back, you know, recently, you know, like he's still going strong. So, I mean, it's, and you apply it well, man. It's pretty powerful. Gets a hell of a reaction too.
All right. Adam Krasnov hit us up. He said about 9 years ago on a U Shoot interview, Scott Hall recalled a time when Virgil was in a bar bragging about his attributes to the point where Tatanka got annoyed and challenged him to what Hall referred to as a dick down wager. Both men would drop their pants and let some of the ladies in the bar act as judges. Hall claimed that Virgil ended up backing down. Do you recall this incident or any similar occurrences from that era? Furthermore, were challenges of this nature common among wrestlers back then?
Yeah, I definitely remember stuff like that in the men's locker room. I mean, you know, things get pretty touchy, man, in there, 25, 30, 40 guys in the same room and shit, you know. And you start talking
about dick down challenge.
You just start talking about dick, you know, and it's just like. and that goes, that's been going on for decades. And I don't know if these guys do it anyway. I don't think they do it these days. I don't know.
Yeah, I doubt that's going on.
You might have one guy wrestler suing somebody for whipping out his dick these days or something, but
I've heard rumors about Virgil. What about Tatanka?
Yeah, bro. Yeah, they all like They were all previously, God bless Virgil. They were hanging. It goes way back from, who's the manager, man? Colonel used to wear that.
Tom Parker.
Yes, Colonel Parker. Now he was hung like a long Don John Silver.
That's what I heard.
So yeah, bro. I mean, he was an older man too back then when I was starting out. He was an older guy, so I was like, "Holy shit, that motherfucker's badass!" And it goes way back from like Special Delivery Jones, Scorpio, Too Cold Scorpio, Colonel Parker, Virgil. Tatanka.
I heard Hungwell Morrell was in there.
I don't know that one.
That was a Memphis guy.
I mean, brothers, I remember it was a time in Berlin, Germany. We were in Germany and Flair and Virgil and like they were supposed like Flair took the cab back to a little Bobby cab back to the whatever. No, we were in Germany, so it wasn't a Bobby cab, but he took a taxi back to the hotel. Of course, got his robe, came back in just his robe. And then it was on stage, at a Hard Rock Cafe or so. It was Planet Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
Germany. So he comes back and there was a ton of money on it. Back in them days, we got advances. So it was like a lot of cash on the boys. We'd be able to get 300 Deutschmarks or 400 Deutschmarks towards our pay every night. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the boys put up cash on there. Virgil wouldn't do it though.
So, really?
So somebody just went on with the show by themselves. So, so Virgil backed out of that one, I know definitely. And I remember that other one with the Tonkin where he backed out.
Good
but
stuff.
There were times I remember Colonel Parker and them guys in Scorpio. And I think it might even be because I was around when, Special Delivery Jones was around, Junkyard and all those guys. So I remember especially Delivery Jones was having some face-offs in them days.
Special Delivery Jones.
And there was money in the pot, man. There was money in the pot. The boys would take some of their advances and shuffle it into a pot, and everybody would bet,
That's amazing right there. That is amazing.
I know. I got a referee. I got this thing in the middle of May going to Pennsylvania to lead up to this Joey Chestnut thing, and I got a – referee a hot dog eating contest,
Hell yeah.
Now that I understand, but man, I'll tell you, I better not get booked for some dick,
a dick down challenge.
Dick down challenge contest. I mean, what the fuck? Imagine ended up my career on a dirty dick challenge.
We'll know you're on the way down if we see you at a dick down challenge online.
I know.
Much, Adam also said, hey, have you ever found yourself struggling to stifle laughter when you spotted Rick the Sign Guy in the front row holding up something humorous during a match? His signs were often known for their wit and creativity. So did you ever have to make an effort to keep a straight face while in the ring while he was around?
Before the matches, you knew when you got on camera too sometimes when they shoot you because you knew we were on in commercial or downtime before we came back up live. So no, you would acknowledge it. You knew when you were on air and when you weren't on air. So definitely
he's good about it.
He was, yeah. And there's so many signs, that you acknowledge or you fucking ignore, Mike Chioda sucks and shit. You're just like, oh, I didn't see that sign.
I missed that one.
I missed that motherfucker, woo.
How fast did it change into just covered in posters? I mean, I kind of remember it, but in my head now it was just always there. I don't remember. Yeah. How fast was the evolution of, we got a couple posters and then it's just painted.
Like within a week or two, I think.
Yeah, it was fast.
It was fast. It was just like, boom. And then you did these, when we went to commercial break, they would play, signs everywhere. And then everybody would, the announcer would get on and say, hey, everybody show their signs in 5, 4, 3. And then they play that, and then they would pan to all the signs and catch all the phrases and gimmicks.
That's great.
Everything. So
it was fantastic.
And they were full, man. It was full.
Ben Jones is up next and he says, hey. G'day, CNC Music Factory. A question for both of you. If you could have a dinner with three celebrities, alive or dead, who would you choose?
That's a pretty good question. Woo! Ozzy, oi, 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 man. Let's see. Man, like growing up, when I was young, as a kid and stuff watching, I would have to say, let me start when I'm young. Maybe John Wayne. Nah, that was more my dad's, idol. And I like John Wayne, believe me. But I'd probably have to say Clint Eastwood, maybe.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Because that guy, he was doing everything, man. The good, the bad, the ugly, and all the shit. And
come on.
Him and Charles Bronson, I'd say. But more Clint Eastwood, because he's had just, what a long career he's had.
Would you want him now, like at 90 or whatever he is? Or would you want him just...
I mean, even at, what was that? That drug mule shit, movie.
That was great.
That was fucking great. I mean, he was 80 great. Years old dead or something.
Killing it.
Killing it. And I remember, when he was 30, 40, killing it when he was, in the Westerns, man. I love the old Westerns, back in the day. So I'd have to say Clint Eastwood overall. Second, probably be the, I'd probably have to say Arnold and Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone together. Yeah. Kind of
with Clint, you got three badasses.
I mean, just because, they both did the action movies. They were both fucking battling. Who's the baddest?
Back and forth. Yeah.
Who's killing the most fucking people in one, So, I mean, cause you grew up with them in the 80s and 90s and they were these fucking studs with Rocky and fucking all that, I have to go with them two.
All right.
As one, though, because they're the same kind of characters. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. All right.
Three, I guess if The Rock hires me back with a fucking job or something, I'll go with The Rock. Yeah. The fuck?
Treat him to dinner if he gets you back. Yeah.
I know you're watching, Rock. I know you're watching, Cap. I know you're fucking
watching.
Yeah,
he's a member of ad-free shows. He's got it. We'll send it to him if not.
If you're watching that guy on Busted Open, man, you're watching me, Cap. Come on, man. You're watching LaGreca. You're watching me.
Adam snuck one more in here. Adam Krasnoff. He said, hey, can you paint a picture of what the backstage area usually looks like during a Royal Rumble where all the wrestlers huddled around the gorilla position at once waiting for their cue? Or was there a system in place like a runner would go get guys from the dressing room to the curtain before they scheduled entry time?
System in place. And the runners were the referees.
Okay.
We were to go first. I would usually be focusing more on if I could help run and get talent to help the referees do it if they were short, but usually we'd have a lot of NXT kids there over the years. And so they would run and get five guys at a time because you didn't want a crowd gorilla either. They always hated fucking all the way from Vince Hunter to everybody, Michael Hayes. They hated when fucking gorilla got too crowded. So it was about maybe, the next three or four or five guys to go in. Because, the times come up quick. So you would have the next five guys in place and then the next five in line. But they'd all be around in the area, kind of not far away. And we'd have a sheet, with the lineup, who's going next.
So these next five are coming up. Go get them. Bring them back. Get them ready to go.
Yeah, you'd have five in a gorilla at one time. And then you'd have them downstairs in a tunnel. Then you'd have some guys at the end of the tunnel just spread out.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Yeah, that keeps it clean. You
had to always go fucking find number 30, 29 and 30 because they knew they were last and fucking you.
They're just chilling.
Because they're screaming, make sure you got the fucking talent here,
All right. Frank Jones, this is an interesting question. I've did a lot of mailbags and a lot of times when people send in questions, never have I seen this ask, so I'm super pumped about it.
All right.
Frank Jones with an original question. Mike and Cassio, what are you looking forward to in the next 90 days?
Man, 90 days.
Isn't that an interesting question? What's coming up in the next 3 months that Mike Chioda is looking forward to?
All right. Well, let's see. I just started my referee school, training referees in Orlando. And the second seminar is in the next 2 months. So we got a nice 18-foot ring in a studio out in the outside of Universal Studios, nice area in Orlando. And we had 15 students, man. We had 15 students the first time. So I gave them a 2.5-hour seminar. I really went the extra mile. And we did 4 hours in-ring training with wrestlers doing spots and moves and working on cadence and counts and you know, abdominal stretches and just so forth, other spots and other things, the referee drills that I was putting them through. Had a great class, went 6 hours total, just about six, you know, at six and a half. Looking forward to the next 2 months of the second seminar, which we just posted tonight. We already have two people for a 2-day seminar signed up.
Where can they sign up for that if anybody's interested?
It's going to be on Storytellers on Instagram. It'll be on storytellers.com. I repost everything, so on my Twitter account and Instagram and everything. So it's on Facebook. It's all on the social media platforms. I'm looking forward to coming at and building a nice, because we had 6-7 students flying in. So, and a lot of students, is there any way you're going to have a 2-day seminar? I said, yeah, but it's going to be almost double. I can cut it, you know, whatever, but I can do a 2-day because it would be worth it for you guys. Man, it'd be great because like 7 students were flying in. So
yeah,
they flew in, 2 had to fly that night out, back out. So I was like, man, some people are interested. And we're getting great feedback. I gave these guys a lot for the first time. Of course, the first impression is the best. And these seminars will hopefully continue to grow. I'm looking forward to a trip in Greece in 3 months on a cruise. Let's see.
Oh, August. Nice.
June, July, May, about 4 months.
We're going to get it in there.
Yeah, it's 120 days. So and, I'm just looking forward to doing all these. I got a lot of signing conventions and hot dog contests. And I got there's a show in Point Pleasant in July when we're doing this big show with Cardona on the card. I know he just had surgery, but he's still going to make the show, supposedly, in the middle of July. It's going to be what's it called? Wrestling Factory something on July 16th, 17th. It's on a Tuesday. And they're having a show at a tiki bar on the beach.
So, oh, nice.
Yeah, they already got the floor seats and first row seats and floor seats sold out. And it's going to be standing room only. It's supposed to be a good crowd because it's right in the middle of summertime on Point Pleasant and Jenkinson Boardwalk right at the tiki bar on the beach. So it should be a good house. Yeah, it's in New Jersey. So just looking forward to a lot of conventions. Got a couple other conventions in Jersey and around. I'm booked to like October or November. So pretty busy every month.
Going back to the cruise, have you been to Greece before?
No, I have not been to Greece yet.
That sounds fun, man. Yeah, I've never been either, but it sounds seems like a cool place to go.
You know, I've been to a lot of cool, like, you know, Paris, Rome and all that several times and been to 50 to 60 different countries. But there's a lot of vacation spots. I've never, like, Cancun, Mexico, never been there.
Really?
Yeah, I've never been to a lot of, like, where everybody else goes, I've never been. For vacation. You
covered everything else for
it. I go to some beautiful city, Berlin, here, there, everywhere. Yeah. But, you know, Switzerland, but it's weird.
Super cool. I'm looking forward to, let's see what I'm looking forward to. I am making a focus to get back on the road and do more stand-up. And so I've booked a bunch of dates and still filling in some dates.
Good.
And some of the ones I've already got on the schedule, I have never been to before. So I'm super excited about that. Going to make a New York run, making an Austin, Texas run. Going to do Orlando and Tampa.
Nice. Let me know when you're in Tampa, bro. Please. Yeah. Please.
We're going to support you. I'm going to be out at Side Splitters, Tampa, and have a good night there.
Oh, that's a cool place. I've been there.
Yeah, I'll message you. We'll get that taken care of.
Sweet. Yeah.
And then, yeah, man, I'm excited. That all starts in May and June. So everything starts cranking up. So I'm really excited about that, man. It's been focusing on the podcast world, the radio world, and everything else in life. And, kind of went down on the stand up. You know how it is. Once you get off the road, you want to take just a second to regroup, and then you're like, I'm kind of getting the itch to go on the road a little bit.
Get back on the road, I know.
Yeah. So
when I've been on the road all these years, when I get let go, you know, and I was busy here and there doing this, doing that, podcasting and this, and started working for AEW and like other shows and just do other shit, signings. And my wife finally, she goes like 6 months, she's like, are you going to get any busier than this? I'm like, what the fuck? I've been working all my life. Like, if I'm sitting my ass on a fucking couch or like a couple weeks here or a week here.
That's super good. All right. Our buddy Matt Blackstock. Here we go, all man. Right. Oh, always shit. Good to hear from Matt.
Yeah, it is.
Hey guys, Vegas. Oh my, I had a good time this past weekend. Vegas was fun and cheer choice awards. So this week, I will not ask a question this week. I want to tell a story about Vegas. All right. Now look, first of all, Matt, whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But if you want to share it, here we go. He says, right. Well, we got there in Vegas. I was so happy to see my TikTok friends for the first time. The airplane ride for the very first time was fun. Love to do more of it. We got landed on Thursday. We stayed at the Palms. It was an awesome place. We went to Fremont Street, and it was fun. Crazy story. When I was there, I saw two bunnies. The bunny did a whip and close to them. They say today is my birthday, and they got tips. So I did tip one of the bunnies. My reaction when they got close to me, I've never experienced before. It was fun.
Were they Playboy bunnies?
I was about to say, what kind of bunnies you think he's got, Cody?
Playboy bunnies.
Friday, we went to the Strip, and that was fun. I went to In-N-Out Burgers. It was so good. Rode a roller coaster at New York, and that was awesome. Friday afternoon, had to get the stuff ready for the Cheer Choice Awards, and guess what I saw? You guys have heard of Mama Tot on TikTok. I have not, but I will check it out. She is awesome, and I met Scott D. Henry. Scott is the winner of the reality TV show of Tough as Nails, and that is a big deal. So if anyone knows Mama Tot or Scott D. on Henry TikTok, I got to meet him. So super cool there. I did gamble a little bit. It was fun, and I won some and I lost some. That's how it is. As long as you won some, you're good.
That's it.
Saturday, we had a pool party. I did the interview of the pool party, and it was good. After that, we did a masquerade at the dance club, and it was fun. And then, to wrap it up, he says, Sunday, the big one, the awards. I was nervous about it. I did have small anxiety of the day. I did the red carpet. I did the interview. It was fun. And Crushy won an award. I'm proud of her. I did not want an award, but it's all good. I'm happy and honored to be top five for this year. They did botch my last name. They said Blackstone instead of Blackstock. Oh, well, it's good. People are happy to see me. Their award is they wanted to see me for the first time. They're really proud of me to overcome the ride on the airplane for the first time. I do miss them. They definitely want to see me there next year. Hope you guys can nominate me again for next year. That will be a couple months of away. I love to do it again. I miss my friends. I do love your faces. And I'll get questions prepared for the next mailbag. Zombie. All right, man.
Awesome, man. I'm glad. He sounds like he had a blast.
Man, Vegas is always fun, isn't it, man? You can find whatever you want to do. Eat, gamble, just see the people, watch, whatever you want to do, man.
Boy bunnies. And that's his first time flying, he said?
That's awesome, isn't it?
It is awesome. Get that out of his, nerves.
Yeah, now he's going to be a pro. Now, Matt, you're going to be a pro flying now, man.
Yeah,
good for you. Glad you had fun.
First class too, Matt. It works out really nice.
It's worth every penny, brother. It is worth every cent. Yeah, all right, let's see. Let's see who we got next. Dylan Leha. He says, Mike C. Cassio, what's happening, fellas? Mike, how long before we see Gunther with the World Heavyweight Championship?
Ooh. I'm thinking they got to revamp and redo something with him because I'm saying within a year.
A year?
Yeah, within a year.
You think they're going to change his character a little bit?
I think so. Something's got to change a little bit. You know, he didn't quite pop out like I thought he would, hell of a worker. Yeah. I don't know. I think they just lay him low for a little bit, maybe revamp him or something. Repackage them, but I think they got him into work somewhere for doing something.
He said also, did you and the boys used to watch ECW after the shows back in the day? And how much material do you think Russo took from them and used in the Attitude Era?
Probably a lot. I used to watch ECW. I used to go to the shows a lot when Paulie.
Oh, cool.
In a PA area. Anything in the Pennsylvania area, living in South Jersey or in Philly, I'd go to Philly shows and somewhere up in Pennsylvania in this like bar. It was like on top of a hill. Forgot what part of Pennsylvania, but yeah, man, I used to go see Rob a lot, RVD. So, and some of the other guys too. So it was cool, man. You'd go there and you get welcomed and it was cool. I mean, those guys dressing in bars, dressing outside, dressing all over the place, man. It was just like a frat house of wrestlers, and they were fucking doing some great shit, man. Some crazy shit you'd want to see at a bar,
So there you go, Dylan. Not only did he watch it, he watched it live, man. That's what it's all about right there. Sure, Ron Ward hit us up. He said, hey, I had to admit I was worried when Paulie B left. Chemistry is a lot more important than most people think. I don't think Mike has missed a beat, and Cassio's chemistry seems good with Mike than it is with any of the other people that Cassio has done a show with. Massive sigh of relief, he says. Hey, for us too, brother.
Thank you. Thank you for the kind words. I appreciate it.
He said, now my question. Crushed red pepper came up this week, and it got me thinking. I heard of somebody who liked to put crushed red pepper in their beer. I had a bartender tell me she knew somebody who liked to put a raw egg in their beer. People enjoying a beer with weird ass stuff in it always seems to be a thing. So what's the weirdest thing you've ever heard or seen somebody purposely put in their beer? And if the AFS community wants to get involved in answering this question, be my guest. So first I'll say this, if you're listening to this and you know something about putting weird stuff in beer, go to the comment section of this previous episode. The one right before the one you're listening to now, find Rod in the comments, or you can comment on this one, but leave us a story if you know something weird in a beer. So what about you, Mike?
Man, I've seen people put some weird shit. Crushed red pepper is fucking weird. Yeah, I'm usually putting that on pizza, pasta.
Have you ever seen somebody? I've never seen somebody put it in a beer.
No, me neither.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, you know, lying with beer and all that. But you know what? We were sitting there at walk-ons one day, me and my wife, and I was looking at this guy put like, he was like, oh, can I have some extra oranges? And he had a beer in front of him. And it was like putting like four oranges in a beer. And I'm thinking, why would you want your beer? I'm not a beer fucking drinker, but.
There is a beer, Blue Moon, that tastes good with the orange.
That's what it was, Blue Moon.
Yeah. I'm not going to put four. But they four, usually like, serve it with one. Yeah.
I'm like, why don't you just fucking get some fresh squeezed orange juice and pour it in there?
Yo, go vodka OJ. Let's get it done right.
I like vodka fresh squeezed orange juice with a splash.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. So you're not a beer drinker at all.
No, I mean, a cold beer.
Yeah. Just grab one if everybody's drinking a beer.
Yeah. Here and there. Maybe a nice cold beer or two, even after landscaping. My wife likes to drink beer once in a while, but if you're going to get to something, drink a vodka straight, you know, or an old fashioned, you know, nice stiffies, a couple stiffies.
I go for the hard stuff as well. Yeah. So, I mean, I'll drink a beer, but I'd rather get me a drink and either sip on it or shoot it and move on. Matt Casey said, hey, Mike, just wondering your thoughts on WWE going to a minimalist set and getting rid of the Titantron.
Yeah, I mean, if they do that, I'm thinking, like, I'm here, they've been cutting back a lot. I'm talking to some of the guys that still work for the company, of course. Said they've been cutting back, like, you know, we flew back Sunday night from WrestleCon. Me and my wife, we were taking my mom back with us, and it was after the signing, and I picked them up at the hotel, and I'm running all these people, like, you know, NXT and all that bunch of guys. They were all supposed to have, they had to fly home and not stay for the Sunday night show. I was like, wait a minute, you guys,
wow.
They have you in NXT to learn and everything. And they didn't want you to experience a WrestleMania Sunday night, like Saturday night. It was okay, but they didn't want you to experience Sunday night.
That's weird.
And it's, you know, it was basically a money cut thing. And they were cutting back on a lot of stuff, I heard still, on certain things. And I was like, damn. So, you know, they don't have to pay for the extra hotel. They don't have to pay for certain other things. And just, so, you know, they cut back on and getting rid of that. Titan, it's less trucks. It's going to be less trucks, 18 wheelers. If they have 18 to 20 going to a Raw or SmackDown or 16, probably less than a SmackDown, it's just going to be less trucks, less money. It's cutbacks, maybe.
Does that, will the crew size be the same, or will that lose some crew members as well?
Yeah, I mean, you'll just, like, you know, instead of hiring like 60 guys from the arena, you probably get like 40, you know, or
because, you know, you got a little less to do.
Yeah, a little less to do and stuff like that. But maybe they got rid of it, and maybe they got something new coming up. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe TKO and everything and Rock, they just want something completely different, you know. Triple H, maybe they're just revamping it.
Michael Green said, hey guys, thanks for answering my question last time. I appreciate it. Yeah, well, we thank you, Michael, for sending us a question, man. That's what it's all about. He said, we talked about gangster movies way back in, but since Cassio's never been asked, I'll ask today, what's your favorite gangster movie? And Mike, we'll switch it up for you. Right. What's your favorite Western movie? Thanks for the entertainment, gentlemen.
Gotcha. Mm. Good question. Go ahead, Cass. What you got?
Gangster movies. Oh, let me think about this for a second. Probably Goodfellas. I did like Departed very good. I mean, you know, all the standards are out there. I think I would have to, my personal fave would be probably Goodfellas and The Departed.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah.
But I can watch all of them, man.
Yeah.
I love a good gangster movie.
Goodfellas is definitely on top of my list. If I was to answer that question, but my number one would be Warriors. You ever see the Warriors back in the day? Warriors come out
and play.
Remember that? They're trying to make it to Coney Island.
Yeah,
that was going up.
Bottles on their hands.
Yeah, the bottles at the end of the show when he meets at the end, he's clicking, come out and play. Hey.
Yeah.
And that little guy had so much fucking heat. He was such a wuss, you know, like
that's a great one.
Oh, that's a great one, man. When I was growing up, Cyrus getting killed in the beginning and all that, you know, it was fucking cool. The Warriors, I had to say in the beginning.
And then what is your favorite Western movie?
Man, I'd have to say probably Good, the Bad, the Ugly.
Okay.
That or, I don't know, Tombstone is pretty bad, man.
There it is.
I'd say Tombstone, man.
There it is.
Yeah.
For a while, my top three movies that were unbeatable were Tombstone,
right,
Braveheart, and Gladiator. I mean, those were
Braveheart. Gladiator was one of my favorite movies of all time.
Ever. All three of them, just amazing.
That came out like 2000, right? Like 2000 or something.
Dude, Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a better heel? I mean, everyone hated him.
Right, and Russell Crowe, he was great. He was great.
Yeah.
I mean,
incredible
love story. Good fucking. It was just everything, man.
Caesar. Tombstone was ruined so many of my days because if I flip by and see it, it's shut. We're shutting down. I'm putting it on the TV and I'm getting distracted. Right? I can't not watch it if I see it.
Yeah, Tombstone's up there. That's it.
By the way, American Gangster was pretty good on gangster movies with Denzel. That was a pretty good one.
That was good.
I forgot about that one. It just popped in my head. Simon C. He said, "Hey, Mike. Do the boys refer to the agents as agents or producers or coaches?"
Used to be agents for all the years in the 80s, 90s, 2000, 2010s. Closer in the mid 2015, I think it became producers then, around 2015 or so. Producers, they were starting to call them producers. Maybe.
Is anybody coaches or is that just all NXT?
No, that's they coach too. I mean, you know, producers coach while they're out there. You know, they coach rehearsals. They coach during the day. They help, you know, go through matches and moves and stuff like that, and rehearse. You know, new moves, new finishes. You know, all that. So
nobody ever calls them coaches though. They're just—it's just part of their job duty, right?
Maybe more of a coach like Coach Bloom over at NXT. That's it.
Yeah.
I think he's called Coach Bloom and stuff. So. You know, but they call them coaches more or less in NXT.
And Simon says, Mike, what's your thoughts on women reffing men's bouts? Is it restrictive? Because I don't believe the girls would bump for the boys. What's your thoughts on that, Mike?
Nah, I don't know, man. Yeah. I had three women in my class, you know, out of the 15 students, and those girls were serious and working the indies and everything and did a hell of a job. And, you know, in our next seminar, we're going to go over bumps and stuff like that, bumping like a referee and how to bump and stuff and other things. So, no, I mean, I have no issues with a woman doing a man's match. And if they have to bump her, you bump her, because usually when you're bumping a referee, 95% of the time, it's accidental. It's an accidental bump. You know, the referee got in the way. But, you know, and when you're bumping a referee on purpose, it's just you want to get disqualified. You know, there's times where, you know, I've seen it in order and we're ready to face off. And then the bell rings and then Randy slaps me in the face. I ring the bell because he didn't want to lose the championship, you know.
All right.
I mean, just storylines like that. But, yeah, definitely. Like 95% of the bumps, man, they come from accidental. Like, and the ref got in the way or this, you know, just – The referee wasn't supposed to be there. So, I mean, it's just not like you're blatant out hitting a woman, you know?
It's interesting. I've never even, I mean, I definitely remember, hey, you know, you start seeing women refs the last few years. Right. But I've never thought, hey, man, that's, don't be doing that. I've never thought about that way. I've just viewed it as, hey, there's female refs. I've never thought about the bumps aspect. Pretty right. cool. A pretty cool question there, Simon, to get Mike's take. What do you remember whispers or seeing of first female refs for you?
Oh, it was cool. I thought it was, you know, they started coming in to everything, NFL, college, basketball. Yeah. They started to do everything. I believe baseball too, right? Might have a few umpires.
I think so.
So, I mean, it just caught on, like, I'd say probably, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe. And it's just starting to hit strong in the last so many years. So, which is good.
Do you think years ago, I'm sure, I don't know, I'm speaking out of turn, but it seems like years, and I'm talking years ago, that it would be frowned upon and wouldn't even be considered. And do you think later it wasn't really pushback? It just, there was no refs, females doing it. Do you think that kind of happened, or do you think there was pushback? Because in my head, maybe it's like they're not really trying to do it, so maybe they're not coming in. It's not like they're keeping them out of the business. They just weren't interested.
Right. It might have been both. It might have been both because, you know, you had Rita McLaughlin back in those days in the 80s. You did have a couple of others that didn't really do much, but they were out there. It's just, but I believe it was maybe both. Like, you know, it was just maybe unheard of. And that's why maybe they thought that wasn't a place for them, you know?
Yeah.
And then it just became a trend in all sports, I believe. So, you know, it was very good. I mean, you know, I remember like when we had a referee training thing, like we go to some of these local towns, you know, of course, cities, and they have some indies coming in, the referees. And I remember we looked at, you know, Aubrey Edwards, and, you know, I thought we could work with her. And I said, hey, man, if we're looking for a girl referee, she looks good. She could be worked with, you know, easily. Good shape, this, that, and everything else. And next thing you know, somebody else didn't like her. So, you know, and then before you know it, she popped out on the AEW.
Yeah.
So
I do. I find it cool. I think it's a cool thing that I've never, when watching it, thought, oh gosh, we've got a female ref. And because there's not like a gap. It's not one of these things where you go, if we, you know, early on in some things when they're breaking in, there's a gap just because they're not used to it. I mean, from the time we started seeing them regularly, it was just a thing. It was just no big deal.
Right. I mean, to me, it was like at some sports you look at and go, okay, this, you know, there's women wrestlers for decades. And a lot of them, managers, wrestlers. So for a woman referee to become a referee in wrestling, I think that's what's wrong with that. That should be, because there's women wrestlers.
Right.
And she can do men matches. To me, it's like you see a woman, you know, okay, she's a referee in NFL. Now, she never played in the NFL. No women played in the NFL in a pro sport. But if she knows the rules, right? By heart, if she knows the rules, the rules are the rules. So it doesn't really how you play the game or whatever. It's just the rule of the rules. So she has to know the rules and apply the rules in the NFL. Sometimes it was hard for me to almost adjust to the women announcers in the NFL because no woman played. And sometimes the women would go, well, he didn't look like he had, you know, the steam today like he normally has, or, well, he never played the sport. Like, it's tough out there, probably. I played football when I was younger for quite a few years. It was tough then. But I had a kind hard to adjust, but these women seem like they know everything about the sport.
Yeah, jumped right in.
They jumped right in. And I was like, you know, now I can, you know, I was like, holy shit, like, how does she know so much shit?
You know? great stuff.
Yeah.
Simon said, last question for me for this mailbag, parentheses promise. He said, if Mike could pick entrance music for yourself, what would it be?
Oof. That's a good one. Probably, I have to go with something upbeat. God damn. Probably feeling a little narcissist here. Probably Mr. Perfect's Kurt Hayes.
Yeah. There we go.
I mean, yeah, I'd look pretty stupid coming out to Undertaker's fucking entrance.
If you could pick a regular song.
Maybe CM Punk's.
What if it's just a regular song, not a wrestling theme, just a song that you walk out to?
Let's see. Probably Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin.
Oh, come on. Getting the energy up. Yeah. I know it's been used back in the day, but I always, Stranglehold is always a jam.
Oh, yeah. That goes on, man. Nugent, boy. I know.
And there's a new, newer than Stranglehold, but Stone Temple Pilots has a song called Down, and STP is one of my favorite bands of all time. But they have a song, Down, and I've always, growing up and listening to it, when I heard it the first time, I was like, oh, this is my walkout song. You know, when everybody's like, you're the reliever and you're coming out, or you're the batter or whatever, I'm like, that's my song there. You got to have something that either builds and you know it's building, or it's just strong. Like Immigrant just hammers you right out of the gate.
Right? And you know what? Cat Scratch Fever was badass, too. That was my first concert ever, bro.
Ted.
And I got a picture with him up here on the wall, man. I met him over in Wisconsin, or he lives in Michigan or Wisconsin, one of those states. And he came to a show one day years ago.
And, man, he shreds, brother.
I wish I had that picture with me and signed. I didn't have it signed. Like, he took a picture, and of course, you know, later on, he developed it with the fucking Kodak cameras.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck, I gotta get this signed by him. But yeah, it was Crocus and Blackfoot opened up for him.
Crocus.
Yeah, I think the one band had two drummers. One of them.
Heard Crocus in a long time.
Yeah, bro. Dude. Crocus and Blackfoot opened. I was like fucking 13 years
old. Train. Come on now.
Yeah, it was either Cat Scratch Fever Tour or something else. Maybe
Wango Tango.
Wango Tango Tour, maybe.
Yeah, Wango Tango, probably.
Wango
Tango. Yeah, man, I got to see him this past when all that was out, but I got to see him in 2000. He opened up for Kiss when Kiss was retiring in 2000. Of course, they've retired 27 times. Yeah.
I see Willie Nelson for the first time in concert. And
did you?
Yeah, me and my wife went a couple months ago in Clearwater, man, at this beautiful little stadium, brand new one right off the marina. And great crowd, man, packed house, indoor, outdoor stadium. And I played with his son, man. It was fucking badass. And I partied with Willie with the Nasty Boys on his tour bus many, many fucking years ago. And that's when Chimmel left me and Shane at the fucking tour bus. Fucking drove to the next fucking town. McMahon was fucking hot. We were both hot. But yeah, man, it was, you know, party with Willie, but never seen him in concert. And I said, man, I got to see this guy in concert. Man, he was fucking phenomenal, man.
We know he's an icon, but till you get to the show, you forget really how many songs he has.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're like, oh my God, I forgot about this one.
Yeah. And I mean, he did so many songs, and he did them for like maybe 90 seconds a piece, maybe not even two minutes a piece.
Yeah, got to rip through so many.
Yeah, he had to rip through so many. He was just playing this for 2 minutes and that for 2 minutes and this, you know. He would change up right into the next song. It was like, fuck, he just kept it rolling, man. I was like, God damn. I mean, he made our president look like fucking shit.
Pauls.
Willie Nelson for fucking president. I was like, Willie Nelson for president.
I got that poster on my wall. Willie Nelson for president. I got it. Really?
That's cool.
Yeah, he sold it, and I bought it when I went and saw him. And by the way, his son, he's got a couple sons, but if it was his son Lucas with him, he is a straight badass.
Man. Yeah, he was good, man. Dark hair, curly kind of beard, mustache. Full beard, mustache, something like that.
Yeah, he's got two. I'm not sure which one was there, but check out Lucas, man. He plays the blues real good. He's incredible. But
he didn't look too old. Me and my wife were trying to figure out, like, damn, when did he have him at 50 something?
What's he like, 90?
Yeah, I'm like thinking, I'm thinking, when did he have it, 50 or 60? He's so fucking.
He had that's called a surprise, is what he had, brother.
Oh, man.
Let's see. Here we go. And by the way, Matt Blackstock commented on Simon's question and said, the Kiki Kyoto theme that is what he's going to walk out to. He reminded him that he made it.
Yeah, I did like that. That's true. That's good.
All right, let's go to the next one. Liam Evans said, hey, CNC, question for you. Mike, do you have any heat with Baby Earl? I recently finished his book, and he referred to you as a bullshit artist in one of the chapters. Really? I wasn't sure if it was meant as a work or a shoot. I need to know, haha. Also, have you read his book? If so, what do you think about it? So first, have you read his book?
All right. I'm not going to bullshit you here. No, I have not.
Okay.
Read it, but
now, what do you think he's calling you a bullshit artist?
I don't know. It's I don't know. Let's see. I just seen him at WrestleCon. He didn't seem like anything was wrong with there. I actually got a call from Nightline News or Dateline News or something like that. And Earl passed their number, my number, on to them about the Vince, all that scandal, but I refused to comment. You know, I didn't bullshit there. You know, I just, you know, I told the guy straight up, look, man, I'm trying to make it to the Hall of Fame. If I can get back there coaching the PC and, you know, do whatever, I said, you know, I didn't leave the job 35 years with heat. You know, they employed me for 35 years, you know, so I had a hell of a fucking run. So I wasn't, you know, so that guy never called me back. But Earl, he was like, oh, I got your number from Earl Hebner. I'm like, fuck, all right. Well, that was a couple months. And I just seen Earl at WrestleCon in Philly. And when I see him on the road, he, you know, everything's good to go, you know, but maybe he just plugged that in his book. I don't know. That's the first time I heard of that.
When he's saying Baby Earl. Is that Earl? He's not talking about his son, is he?
No, that's Earl. Earl's the only one who wrote the book. So he's
all right, making sure.
Yeah, he's called Baby Earl or something.
Well, we'll have to do. We'll have to find that part of the book and get some context with it and see what he's saying.
Yeah,
but you never know.
Yeah, well,
you might read and go, oh yeah, that's why he's saying that. You know, we'll never know.
I didn't bullshit my way through the business. I just worked hard, crew and fucking refereeing. So, you know.
Well, Liam, we haven't seen it, so we will say, well, let's get some eyes on it at some point, and then Mike, we'll have a question for you then. But an answer for you. Right now, it's just kind of hard to say without context.
Yeah. As soon as I see it, but like even you know, like even a screw job, when the, you know, I get that question a million times, hey Mike, would you have done the same thing Earl had done? I say probably yeah. You know, like I didn't bury Earl for doing that because I would have had to fed a family too and fed myself. You know, so the boss told you to do something, you probably would have to fucking do it. So, but yeah, so I ain't bullshit there either.
Let's keep it going here with Josh Rosenbaum, Coach Rosie. He said, Coyote, our boy Matt Blackstock is killing it. I'm proud of that little bugger. I'd like to know who is the teacher that you had in school that you liked and hated, and what was it like to get hit by a teacher?
I did get hit by a teacher.
Yeah.
But I was like, I was young. I was living in Bayonne, New Jersey, and I went to a Catholic school, St. Joe's, and I was like 5 or 6 or so. And I got the ruler from the nuns, you know, and I had like marks on my hands. And I remember my mom, she's Catholic and she's a young Polish woman. And she went up there and she tore that fucking nun a new ass, man. Like, never. You want to see the fucking gates of hell? You touch my fucking son one more time. I mean, my mom was a tough one up there, too. She was tough when she was younger.
She's yeah, like, you know, Kurt Russell at the end of Tombstone. She's like, you tell her I'm coming and hell's coming with me, baby. Yeah,
she always tells me the story. I actually had my mom here for a few months, man. So that's one of the things I'm looking forward to the next 90 days, enjoying some good time with my mom. She'll be
there. You go.
And she tells that story a lot. Like, I told them once that Catholic. Yeah, you want to see the fucking gates of hell? You touch my fucking son one more time, you'll see the fucking gates of hell. Yeah, like happened even quick. So it was, but then in high school, God, I'll never forget this Miss Farragelli boy. She was fucking stone cold hot. I was in love with her. You want to talk about? She was in charge of study hall. That's one class I didn't cut. I cut all the other classes, but never cut study hall.
Nicely. But there was no paddling in your school in high school?
No, it was a smoking section we had. know, I graduated 84 and let's see, 1980. Yeah, it was like from ninth grade to 12th. And then, yeah, we had a smoking section between every class, 15-minute break. You were out to go in smoking area. People smoking pot, you know, and fucking going, you know, smoking cigarettes. And then, boom, back to class.
We had my entire school career, we had paddling.
Yeah, okay. No shit.
Entire high school and everything.
What year was that?
Up to 97. I graduated 97.
No shit.
Yeah, but South don't play.
South, I was going to say the South.
That's old South right there.
I mean, this is a public school. I went to Willingboro High School. I went to school with Carl Lewis.
You know, nice.
Yeah, I went to, well, I was a freshman when he was a junior, a sophomore when he was a senior. But yeah, so I mean, but there was no, none of that fucking, it was, now we, if you were a minute late, you had a general detention after school for 45 minutes. If you got so many of them or you did other shit, I had Saturday and Sunday detentions too, from 8 to 12 in the morning.
Woo.
If you didn't make them, you were suspended on Monday. So
but no paddlings ever.
No paddlings, just fucking, it was like when Breakfast Club came out, fuck, I can relate to that movie. That was a badass movie. They were just like, what the fuck we went through? You know, it was like, oh shit, the teacher would leave the room, you go fucking nuts, you're hungover, it's Saturday morning, and they're at 8:39, fucking trying to hit on the girls. Hey. Let's smoke a joint after this fucking I mean, it was fucking,
I feel like you were wanting to get in detentions just so you can hang out with them.
Oh, it's just, and you had to show up for them or else you were suspended on Monday. Or if you didn't make both of them, if you had two of them, you were suspended for 3 days.
Whoa.
You know, yeah, if you missed one of them, you were suspended for one. It was fucking, yeah, it was brutal. Like, these kids these days, I'm like, what the fuck? These kids are going to school at 9 o'clock, 9:30 in the morning.
Oh, no, you know, that wasn't us.
9:30 in the morning. They switched the hours here. I'm like, 9:30 in the fucking morning, because our back gate's right across from my high school, you know? And it's like, you know, now you're coming out at 9:30 in the morning, it's fucking packed with kids and crossing guards. And I'm like,
yeah, I didn't even think about the traffic.
If these kids went to fucking sleep at midnight, they still get fucking 8 hours and 8.5 hours of sleep.
That's a win right there, dude. That's a win.
Fuck. We had that bell was ringing at 7:45, 8 in the morning in our school.
Yeah, 7:45, 7:45, 2:45. Fuck
yeah.
Man, the South, if you were acting up and the teacher called back, your parents would be like, well, did you paddling? They're like vouching for the teacher. Tear his ass up. Freddie won't talk again if you paddle him. All right. Dude, we had, my vice principal had holes cut in it so he could get airflow going, man.
Did they give you a fucking noose instead of suspending you?
Yeah, just death. You're going to the gallows.
Over the tree.
He's tardy. He's dead. He's firing dead. Squad for being tardy.
Right.
And they wonder why we're bad in all of the academic standings down in the South. Jeff Ronquillo. Jeff, he says, yo, Cassio and Mike C, y'all two are cooler than an Eskimo's fart. He said,
what's up, Jeff?
He's got a few questions. He said, Mike, what's the funniest house show match you can remember reffing?
Oh, that's a good one. Damn, let's see, Jethro. I'd probably have to say, Goobly Cocker's match, the Goobly Cocker, when he first came out, and he had
a little Gobbledygooker.
Yeah, gobbledygooker. That's
a gobbledygookers. I think you got it.
What the fuck? Yeah, the
gobbledygookers.
Something like that, man.
That was my high school mascot. That's why we got paddled. We were the gobbledygookers.
No, when that thing came out in Survivor Series, you were like, "What the fuck?" You know,
gobbledygooker.
Everybody was like, "What the fuck?" This was the big surprise.
Oh, that's amazing.
You know, maybe one of them, or I always got, no, Doink the Clown matches were fucking cool, man, because the kids were scared of him, and fucking, it was pretty cool, you know, dreary music on his entrance.
I feel like probably Goldust could have had some fun on house shows.
Yeah, no, Goldust did. Yeah, he had a lot of fun. Goldie had a lot of fun. I just seen him, right? He was right next to me at the table, killing it at WrestleCon.
Good for him.
So, Thank God, because I got a lot of feeders off of his line. but yeah, either that or probably, to be honest with you, those samurai fucking matches with the fucking big suits they have.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they could barely move around in the suit.
Yeah.
That was probably the stupidest.
All right. Yeah. Jeff says, hey, Mike, do you think Stephanie comes back alongside Triple H? And will Shane come back for a role in WWE, the new WWE?
Maybe. Is the ring back? Because I'm hearing rumors that the ring's not there. So.
Yeah, I have not seen that it's back.
I'd say if the ring comes back, then maybe she does. But not, I think Stephanie will come back, to be honest. I'd like to see Stephanie and Shane back, you know?
Yes, I do. I'll vote for that as well.
I really do, man. I mean, you know, when I started for this business in 85, it was all with, you know, about, you know, Vince, Linda, Shane, Stephanie. And that was the order. That was the order. You know, because Shane was a little older than Stephanie. And, you know, Shane was grooming up in the business and all that. He came on the road with us for a year to learn everything from the bottom up. Me and Tony Chimmel in the ring crew truck. You know, I love Shane dearly and his family. I love Steph and all that. So I'd like to see him come back strong because, you know, they're still young. There's still a lot of business in wrestling to be said, you know. Especially with The Rock back and everything. He just, what did he make, $7-8 million only?
In fucking yeah, just that. Million. Just took Nine away million. That.
That's it?
Yeah.
I mean, there's still a lot of money to be made. You know, next year I think it's going to be Roman Rock. You know?
I think also, man, just as a fan standpoint, and I know the Vince era is moving on and, you know, rightfully so with what's coming out. But I think as a fan, seeing Stephanie and Shane is kind of still that feeling of we're still in the same.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's that throwback feeling of we still. Yeah. I mean, McMahon's and wrestling is synonymous. It just is. And so when you see that, you're like, there's still some McMahon ideas because that, you know, you can't deny any of the creative part of that. So that's fun to see as a fan.
I was happy to see, you know, like definitely Shane, you know, Steph's always around pretty much, but definitely see Shane out there and Marissa and, you know, on the Hall of Fame. So it was really cool, man.
Yeah.
I wish I would have seen him in a spot at some shape or form during the WrestleMania show, but, you know, hopefully next year.
And Jeff's got a couple of them. They're both big here. Big questions. One is, what do y'all think of how the Sopranos ended?
So now I was just going to say, when you said gangster movies, right? So Sopranos is one of my favorite.
Incredible.
It's incredible. Yeah. It's just, I can relate to a lot of the stuff that happened, even in my family's side in the late 70s, mid 70s and early 80s. Definitely. I mean, because my dad spent 3 years in Terre Haute Federal Pen because he had friends like Monkey Tata, Nick Plumbo and Nicky Palumbo and a bunch of guys, Weasel, if you know what I'm getting. I could definitely rate Sopranos was great. Every season was pretty damn good until the finale season. Everyone at the end, or every one of their seasons, the finale was like the shits. I used to go, what the fuck? That was fucking horrible. I mean, it was just like, how can you be such a good writer throughout the whole fucking season? And then at every end of every season, it was just these shits, you know?
And the final is just a,
and then he dies.
Well, we don't know.
No, not at the final one. I know that. Right.
Yeah. The fade to black. Yeah.
Right. You don't know that. But then there was, you know, then he passes away.
Yeah.
And then they could have done a movie.
The follow-up movie could have had him in it. That would have been amazing.
They had a three-hour movie on that. That could have been a Godfather movie for 3 hours. You know? A fucking Titanic.
All right, so it's fade to black. So it's everybody makes up their own ending because we didn't really see what happened. Do you think he died? Think he got killed?
No.
You think he lived in the restaurant?
Yeah.
All right.
Because I think they had future plans.
That'd be super cool.
I think they had future plans. I don't think they expected him. You know, you go away with something for like almost a decade or 5 or 7, 8 years, and then you come out with that Sopranos movie.
Yeah.
Fuck. You know?
Did you see the prequel with the son?
Yeah. Yep.
I thought he did a pretty good job.
That was all right. That was pretty good. It was.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job for what it was. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't Sopranos level quality, but I didn't think it was that bad. And I thought the kid did a good job. And Jeff's final question. I don't know if we even got time to do all this, but we'll both toss out a few. He said, I want y'all's top 10 greatest players of all time of the NBA. I mean, some of them's got to be the same for both of us. You got to have Jordan in there.
Yeah, but I'm going to go back to like Dr. J, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson.
Okay.
I'll go back to like Michael Cooper, George Gervin.
You going back to Kareem and Wilt? You got big guys?
Yeah, but I wasn't, you know, I didn't really see. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, yes.
Yeah.
But Wilt, I never seen play, but I did see a lot of footage, of course. Okay, so, but I didn't experience him as a, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
seen a lot of clips, but not like I did with, you know, watching live games with the Celtics and Lakers back in the 80s and 70s, late 70s, and Sixers and the Lakers and all that stuff. I'm definitely going to go with probably Pete Maravich. The two guys, Karl Malone.
Karl Malone was amazing.
And who is the guard for Utah?
John Stockton.
Stockton
Malone was deadly.
Yep. Michael Jordan, you know, and all these guys. I mean, I can name more than 10, but definitely Michael Jordan. I'll never say LeBron. Sorry.
Why not? You just hate him.
I don't know, man. I just didn't, you know, just, it's always like, you know, who's the better ball player? I think Michael Jordan's the better ball player, but no, I'm not saying LeBron's, you know, but I don't know. Maybe cockiness. I don't know. He just, you know, Michael Jordan.
He rubs a lot of people the wrong way.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I want to say that kid from, what's his face? I love that kid, man.
Who's he with?
Curry. So Stephon Curry.
Steph Curry. Yeah.
So, I mean, I love him. He's phenomenal. I'd say he's up in the top 10.
If we're just saying who do we think is the top 10, I definitely, you know, Jordan and Magic and Bird are on my list. I wish I got to see more of Kareem and any of the, you know, the Bill Russells and the Wilt Chamberlains. That was way before.
And I'm sure maybe from the Pistons, that era back in the day.
Isaiah Thomas. He had the guard. He was the jam, and Bill Laimbeer, and
yeah.
You know, from my era, I was more '90s and 2000s, and so in mine, I'm going to have to throw Shaq and Kobe. They were just Shaq was just a machine. That's true, man. Too.
Yeah, Shaq and Kobe. God, some damn.
I think see, there's so many, and they're different eras, they're different play styles. Underrated, I think, is Tim Duncan. I think he just quietly did his thing and just
Tim Duncan,
just a baller, man.
Fuck, I know.
And you know, right before him, and at the end was David Robinson, who was incredible as well. Too.
Fuck, another Hakeem, one.
Yep. Hakeem,
Olajuwon,
Oh, it was amazing. That's gonna be a hard debate, but that's some more of it. My favorite, one of my favorites is Barkley. He's from the state of Alabama, went to college at Auburn. Right.
Gotcha.
And we got to meet him a couple of times. Just an incredible dude. You would love to hang around Barkley.
I grew up watching him from South Jersey.
Yeah.
He played for Philly so long.
Yeah.
So in his career. So, I mean, and then he always said, like, he said what was on his mind to the refs and everything, man. And kind of.
Remember?
Him and that Daryl Dawkins, man, when Dawkins used to break the backboards and all that shit.
Come on.
That was some wild shit, man. So, yeah.
All right. Good question, Jeff. I hope we gave you a little bit of meat to chew on there. We didn't really go straight top 10, but that's our favorites, man.
Yeah.
And my favorite basketball player also is from a later era is Dirk Nowitzki. I just loved seeing a big 7-footer out there shooting 3-pointers. And now it's everywhere. But back then, that was kind of mind-blowing to see that. All right, let's see what we got. We got a few more people want to chime in. Lauren Eason says, agree or disagree? In a cheeseburger, the cheese goes on top of the patty, not under the patty.
Yes.
Yeah, cheese has got to go on top.
Yes.
Because it's got to melt into the burger and fall in all the little folds and creases and crevices. Oh, yeah. Now,
sometimes I put my tomato first so the cheese will melt over the tomato and keep the tomato from sliding.
Oh, look at that. Like a holder.
Yeah.
That's a pro move right there.
Tomato slides a lot, so.
I thought you were about to say you put your tomato under the patty, and I was like, yeah, man, you're a serial killer. nobody's doing that in their entire life. All right. Now Lauren says, agree or disagree? A corner brownie is better than the one in the middle.
Yes. Yes. Because
no!
No? Oh, you think it's more doughy in there in the center?
I like that softness. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I'll eat the whole pan. Yeah,
me too.
And I know a lot of people that like the corner piece as well. Yeah. So you're agreeing, I'm disagreeing, right?
Yeah, I agree. A corner piece because I like the crust too, and kind of across the edges a little bit.
Yeah,
I'll eat the whole fucking brownie too.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm not turning down a brownie.
I'll throw some whipped cream on there. You know.
Watch out now. All right. And then here he goes. He says, round pizzas are better than rectangle ones.
Yes. Yes.
I'll agree with that too.
Round thin crust. Yeah. Like not a real thin crust, but a thin crust Jersey, New York slice of pizza.
So you like a little floppy thing. You don't like the crispy thin?
No, I like a crispy extra. I always get my pie well done. Like a little extra.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bro. Yeah.
Yes.
Put it on a cracker. I want it on a cracker.
I don't want it to flop. I don't like it to flop.
No.
I like thinner. There are like in Jersey, New York, and Philly, they do it nicer. Like not a real thin crust. It's a little bit, it's thicker than a thin, but it's a thin round pizza.
Yeah.
Round pie, we call it.
I want my pizza to do this, just straight up.
Yeah, yeah.
Not doing anything,
and
man.
And you got to be able to fold it, you know? So it don't fucking. Yes.
Oh, come on, man.
Extra crispy.
We got brownies and pizzas. I'm getting fat guys getting hungry. Cheeseburger talk. Thanks, Lauren. You got hungry out of the big boy. So I'm glad we only got one more question left because I'm going to go throw down on something. Leland Patterson said, hey, guys,
Leland.
I'm curious to get your opinions on ring announcer Samantha Irvin. I personally love the way she announces and really makes every wrestler's entrance personal and unique to that wrestler. I know she is getting some heat online after crying while announcing Cody as the winner at Mania, but she said in the past that she doesn't know the outcomes of each match, and she is a wrestling fan, so I think that makes it even better because she is reacting like a lot of people would. What's your thoughts on that, on Samantha Irvin showing emotion as a ring announcer?
Well, I'm gonna say, yeah, that's awesome. She showed emotion. I think I heard she cried when I got let go. So,
wow. No, okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was like, damn, that's pretty cool.
No, but I mean, hey, if she's a fan and she she fucking enjoyed it, you know, and enjoyed that moment, like she enjoyed that moment, you know.
You hooked my ass on that, dude. I was so excited. I was like, that's boss, man. She is she's the goat. If she cried when Cody left, man, she's a goat.
Oh man, no, but so I mean, if she got, you know, teary-eyed and got upset and just felt the moment and emotion, you know, I'm sure Cody's, you know, wife cried. I'm sure,
yeah,
you know, everybody had some tears that night, you know, and just said, hey, because that was such a fucking huge moment for Cody, you know, which he well deserves. And I know I've been saying, I, you know, the money were Rock and Roman, but that could be done next year, you know, and go on with the storyline. Cody well fucking deserves it. So, and I knew he wasn't going to get it the first year with his injury. Plus, he didn't get a chance to go through the roster. So, when he came back from AEW, he had to go through WWE roster.
Yeah.
And which he surely did the whole year. So, I mean, and he fought his way back and just unbelievable, dude. He's a great person, great guy, great to work with. I worked with him since he started in the business. You know, I have much respect for the Rhodes all the way through Dustin and Cody and his father. And, you know, so, yeah, man, I'm glad to see, you know, all right, she said some tears. I'm cool with it.
Yeah, I'm cool. I'm down with my announcers having a little emotion every now and then. I think that's a cool thing. Makes them human. And amplifies that moment even more of going, my gosh, if even the announcer is emotional, this is a big story.
Well, Lillian Garcia used to sing the national anthem, you know, overseas, and we used to be in Iraq and Afghanistan or wherever we were, and sometimes in the United States, and especially, you know, when the way she sang it, I think, you know, around 9/11 or so. I mean, it brought tears in my eyes just from the announcer singing it, you know. So, I mean, it's all right. You know, the announcer can make you cry. You can cry for the talent, whoever. Everybody cry for everybody.
Just as long as I don't make you cry, Mike. Yeah.
They always say you're not a grown-ass man until you cry, right?
That's it, buddy. And last, Leland said, by the way, second, Mike, I'm not sure if you remember, but last year, me, you, and Paulie were going at it on Twitter about the Celtics and the Heat, and now we're back here again. And I do believe the Heat and Eric Spoelstra could outcoach the Celtics and knock them out. They may not have more talent than the Celtics, but the coaching is miles ahead, and that may be what it comes down to. What say you, Mike?
Man, I say Celtics. I know I seen the second Heat game where the Heat went over. Celtics blew them out in the first game, but I think Celtics prevail this series easily. I think it's going to be like a 4-1 series, you know. I mean,
all right.
Yeah, 4-1. It's 1-1 now. I think Celtics take the next three.
All right. We'll see how it ends up. Let's see if you're a Nostradamus.
Yeah, we'll see, you know. The worst, you know, the Celtics take it, you know, but we'll see.
You're going Celtics four, Celtics and five.
Celtics and five, the most all six. Right. The most six.
I think if I had to go one way or the other, I'd go Celtics. It wouldn't surprise me if the Heat won, but I think if I had to bet on it, I'd definitely go Boston for myself as well. All right, everybody. Go ahead.
I'm just saying they may not get out-coached, but, you know, outplayed, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, Mike, that was a good run, man. Good questions from everybody.
Yeah, very good questions. Thanks for throwing all the questions in, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, please, let's make a pact. Y'all all post food questions at the end like we did today. Yeah. Your boy's going to be distracted for the next 45 minutes. One more time before we get out of here, man. Everybody scan that QR code for the Mike Chioda figure. Pre-order's going on right now, and there's only going to be one Series 1 forever. There can only be one, so go ahead and pre-order and get in on this. If you don't see the QR code and you're just listening, go to RetroWrestlingFigures.com. RetroWrestlingFigures.com. Pre-order that Mike Chioda action figure, my man. Yeah, Mike, great to see you again, and a great episode, dude.
Yeah, great episode. A lot of fun, man. A lot of fun, Cassio.
Appreciate a lot of new questions. I'm just going to be in my head now. What am I looking forward to in 90 days? That's a cool question, right? Man.
That is a cool question.
Makes you think and appreciate really what you got coming up, man.
Right. Definitely. That's for sure.
All right, if you're listening to this, before you leave, drop a question right here below in the comments section, and we would love to read your question on the next Monday Mailbag with Mike Chioda.
One love, Cassio.